Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Pine Creek Courtship by Amity Hope, narrated by Cassidy Brown. Chapter 1. Pine Creek, Minnesota. As the buggy's wheels rattled over the gravel road, Levi's mind skimmed over the past hour. It had been a torturous one, one he knew he would never forget. He had angled himself so that he could see Emma Ziegler from across her father's gravesite. As the funeral had progressed, he wanted nothing more than to hurry to her side, to support her. He couldn't do that. Instead, he watched his childhood friend as she stood stoic, never taking her eyes off the casket as it was lowered into the ground. He'd always admired her courage before, and her strength had not wavered then, at least not in front of all those watching over her. And on the day of her father's funeral, there were a great many people surrounding Emma and her siblings. The spring breeze had managed to tug a few wisps of her chestnut hair from her cap. She hadn't bothered to tuck it away. Or maybe she couldn't. She had been wedged between her sister, Sadie, and her brother, Ezekiel, both clinging to her like darkness grasping a winter morning.
"Looks like the entire district is here," his father proclaimed now.
Levi gave a nod to Dat, who sat beside him.
"It sure does."
Buggies were hitched along the pasture's fence post. Neighbors were milling about the yard. Others were on a slow progression into the house. He didn't see Emma anywhere. "It's not a surprise so many people turned out for the funeral," his mother, Diana, said from behind him. "Paul was a kind man, had a lot of friends. Emma takes after him. Everyone wants to show their support. She's going to have her hands full trying to raise two teenagers and keep up with the farm." Moses, his father, shook his head.
"It's a lot for anyone to take on."
"Paul knew his time was coming," Ma'am reminded them. "It's unfortunate he didn't find a husband to look over Emma, though he tried." Levi clenched his jaw to keep from speaking as he drew the buggy to a halt. Not quite a year ago, Paul Ziegler had contracted pneumonia. The man was more stubborn than Abram Graber's entire team of mules. By the time Emma finally convinced him to see a doctor, he was in need of hospitalization. It was only by the grace of God that he pulled through. Unfortunately, he never fully recovered. When it became apparent that his health would continue to deteriorate, Paul had asked Ivan, Levi's brother, to marry his daughter. The Bontrager and Ziegler farm shared a border, so the families knew each other well. Ivan had agreed, and Levi had been crushed. No one knew, not even Ivan, how deeply his feelings for Emma ran. "We must not fault Ivan for the broken engagement," his mother continued. "He's so happy with Miriam."
"They make a good pair," Levi said. "Emma and Ivan never made sense to me. If he hadn't been so ill, Paul never would have tried to match them up."
"Nay, I don't suppose he would have," his mother admitted. "He simply wanted to see his daughter cared for. He was a good man." Paul Ziegler had been good at a whole lot of things, but resting had not been one of them. There were fields that needed tending, a family that needed raising, and a good Lord who needed praising. He'd pushed himself when he should have been allowing time for recovery. Complications of the pneumonia had caught up with him. Now his children were on their own. "Nay," Levi silently amended as he hopped down from the buggy, "that isn't true." Like all Amish communities, the residents of Pine Creek were a close-knit group. The Amish took care of those in need, just as they knew the Lord had intended. Emma, Sadie, and Ezekiel would be tended to. The woman would be sure they were fed. The men would be sure help was given in the fields if need be.
"Allo, Bruder."
Levi, satisfied that his gelding was secure, pivoted on his heel. Ivan and Miriam had taken their own buggy, and it also just arrived.
"Hello, Ivan."
He nodded in deference to his brother's new wife.
"Miriam."
He was only vaguely aware of her return greeting, as his attention had skittered elsewhere as he searched for Emma. While Dat helped Mam down from her perch, Levi took off toward the house. Friends and neighbors were scattered about the lawn. The men had already set out tables and benches. The women set to work carrying out food.
He knew his mother and Miriam would be rushing to help. It was his fault that they were at the back of the procession of buggies. He wanted to buy some time as he tried to decide what to say to Emma. No words of condolence seemed to be enough. He caught sight of her through the crowd, still wedged between her siblings, as she greeted people on the front porch. Dark crescents rested beneath her eyes. His heart ached for her, as he could only imagine how difficult this had to be. With Paul's health failing steadily over the last several months, he was sure Emma had not been afforded much rest as of late. "The poor girl," his mother said as she rushed up beside him. "She does not look well. If she's not careful, she may wear herself out, make herself ill, just like her dad did." Emma, usually so strong, did look frail.
"That," Levi said, "will not happen. I will not allow it."
With those words, he set off, weaving his way through the crowded yard. Emma could barely stand the weight of the heavy, worry-filled stairs. She knew everyone present had respected her father. They were here to lend their support. But she had heard the whispers, well-meaning people wondering how she could manage the farm, harvest the syrup that was her family's primary source of income, as well as raise her siblings. Truth be told, she wondered the same thing, but she couldn't bring herself to admit it. Not out loud, anyway, but the bothersome questions swirled in her mind, crisp and annoying, like the sound of dead leaves rustling in the wind.
"Ezekiel, Sadie, I will help you dish up some food. I know you have not eaten much today." Their older cousin, Amelia, held out her hands to the teens. She caught Emma's eye and gave her an apologetic smile. "My ma'am would like to speak with you."
"Now?" Emma asked.
"I am afraid so. She would like you to meet her on the back porch." 13-year-old Ezekiel's fingers squeezed Emma's with a strength she wouldn't have thought his small, bony body capable of. 16-year-old Sadie leaned in on her from the other side. The pressure of supporting her siblings should have crushed her. Instead, it gave her strength. She needed to be strong for them. They were counting on her. She was all they had left. She would not fail them. She untangled herself, giving each a gentle nudge toward Amelia. "Let Amelia help you with the food. I won't be gone long." She twisted away from them before they could protest. Then, with downcast eyes, she hurried to the backside of the only home she had ever known. Aunt Naomi was her father's sister, who lived in a district in the southern part of the state. She had arrived earlier in the week, jumping in, taking charge. For the most part, Emma hadn't minded. She was grateful for the help. Aunt Naomi seemed to flourish when she felt she had a job to do. Emma climbed the steps that led up to the back porch.
"You wanted to speak with me?"
"I do." Aunt Naomi turned to face her. Wispy strands of silver hair were tucked tightly beneath her black cap. Her face was lined with age, her hands calloused with hard work.
"You know, I am unable to stay with you and the children indefinitely."
"I never expected you to stay," Emma demurred. "I've been running the farm on my own for some time now. Dat was so ill much of this past year, he could barely get out of bed."
"Yeah," Naomi said, "I know. It's a shame you had to do it all on your own. A woman your age should have a husband by now."
Emma hung her head, trying to ignore the heat that filled her cheeks. She was 4 years past 20, practically a spinster. While her friends had been courting, she had been busy raising her siblings. Aunt Naomi was not wrong. She should have a husband by now. That was what her father had wanted for her. He'd even asked Ivan Bontrager to be her groom, and Ivan had agreed. But that plan had fallen apart. This past winter, Ivan had told her he didn't think he was the right man for her. He had told her that it was best for everyone. She had demanded to know who he meant by everyone, because surely he could not include her in that proclamation. She wasn't sure if she had loved him. She had, however, felt a companionship with him. She enjoyed his company, most of the time. Although, if she were to be honest with herself, he could be a bit of a bore. Even so, he was known for his fairness and honesty. He was a hard worker, and she knew he would have been a good provider and a faithful husband. He was proving this to be true already. He recently wed Miriam, and the couple seemed undeniably happy together. Now here she stood, alone, with no husband and 2 siblings to care for. and a farm to run, and maple trees to tap. Fortunately, the syrup was harvested for the year, the sap having been boiled down and bottled at the end of the cold months. The community had come together to help because her father had been too ill. Next year, Emma knew it would be an enormous undertaking, but one she was willing to tackle on her own.
"Ivan and I were not a good match," Emma murmured.
"Your father thought you were? It's unfortunate Ivan changed his mind. I wondered what caused him to do such a thing."
Emma's eyes flickered to her aunt's before dropping to the porch railing again.
"I don't know."
She was ashamed of the fact that she'd nearly begged Ivan to reconsider, arguing it was what her father had wanted. But Ivan's mind had been made up. There had been no changing it back. He'd begun courting Miriam, and Emma had no choice but to accept his decision. He hadn't so much broken her heart as he had wounded her pride. And since being prideful was a sin, it was possible she held a bit of a grudge. She was miffed that he'd brought that undesirable quality out in her.
"The circumstances matter not," Naomi said, heaving a weary sigh. "The end result is the same. The farm is too much for you to run on your own."
"I'm not on my own. Sadie and Ezekiel will help me."
"Sadie?" Aunt Naomi scoffed. "That girl has her head in the clouds. She's a dreamer, that one. Spends too much time playing with animals or with her face stuck in a book. And Ezekiel? That child has been spoiled all his life. He's frail, just like your mam was."
Emma sent up a quick prayer, asking God for patience. Aunt Naomi said frail as though it were an insult. Emma knew she really meant weak.
"My mother was a good mother."
Emma's voice was low and steady, but there was fire in her eyes.
"She was frail, unable to withstand childbirth," Naomi tissed. "That brother of yours has been coddled since the day he was born. He's scrawny. He should be working the field at his age. If he doesn't learn to earn his keep soon, when will he? That boy is destined to remain as fruitless as Barbara was if he continues to be overprotected."
Her mom, Barbara Ziegler, had withstood great heartache. She had difficulty carrying a bubbly to term. Their family was smaller than most in the community. She had been heartbroken over her losses, and though she tried giving the pain to God, she never seemed to recover. During her pregnancy with Ezekiel, she had been nervous, making herself sick with worry. Ezekiel's birth had been too much for her. She had died shortly after holding her only son for a few short minutes. Emma thought it was no wonder God had taken her. Perhaps he thought her mother belonged in heaven, caring for her lost little ones. And now Dat had joined his beloved Barbara.
"Ron is a hard worker, a good man," Aunt Naomi said of her husband. "But his age is slowing him down some. We could use the help around our place. It would do Ezekiel well to put in a full day's work."
"The children will stay here." Emma's tone held no room for argument, though her heart lurched, then began to race at the very thought of losing them as well. "They'll help me work this farm." Aunt Naomi was determined to argue regardless.
"This farm? You need to use your head, girl. I wasn't going to mention this yet, as we are all in mourning, but perhaps this is the time. Marvin Stoltzfus is looking to set his son up with his own place. We've been talking. I believe the Stoltzfus boy would be a good match for you. Marvin wants to buy the farm. You'd be allowed to stay on, of course, as Amos Stoltzfus's wife. Ezekiel and Sadie will have to come with me. You can expect only so much of a man."
Amos? He was a bit older than her, but quite a few unpleasant stories had drifted her way. She fought back a shudder. Her voice trembled when she spoke.
"My dad has only been gone not even a week, and you've made arrangements to sell our farm and marry me off?"
"I'm only looking out for you," Aunt Naomi coaxed. "This is the best solution for everyone. You'll be allowed to stay in the home you grew up in. You'll have a husband to take care of you."
"And if I stay on?"
Where does the money from the sale of the farm go? Emma clenched her hands to her sides, sure she knew the answer.
Your uncle and I will need the money. We'll use it to help raise the children.
Naomi wore a determined look.
I grew up in this house as well.
Emma shook her head.
Nay,
it will never work. I cannot marry Amos. I barely know him. She trailed off, knowing there was no argument that would win her aunt over at the moment. She could tell by the stubborn set of her jaw that she would not let this go. Marry Amos Stoltzfus? The idea was absurd. Even more absurd was the idea that she would ever give up her siblings. After everything they'd been through, the three of them belonged together.
I understand you're going to need a bit of time to get used to the idea,
Aunt Naomi said, as if Emma's agreement was as good as given. Emma struggled to find a reason her aunt would accept. Amos Stoltzfus was not a kind man, though she tried to whisk the thought away. Judgment was not hers to dole out. Yet the thought would not recede. She was not judging, simply remembering things she had noted about Amos in the past.
Nay,
she said quietly, not wanting to argue with Naomi, but needing to express her feelings on the matter. He was the only man, young or old, in their community who had gotten into a physical altercation with a tourist. On many occasions he had been known to imbibe alcohol while stumbling down the streets of Pine Creek.
Amos is not the sort of man I can marry. He has a querulous way about him.
Emma!
Aunt Naomi exclaimed in indignation.
He has been known to be cruel, Emma whispered. When young Eli Graber's new pup got loose and ended up in Amos's yard, he beat the poor creature with a rake.
Well, Eli should have taken better care to contain the animal, Aunt Naomi argued. Plus, people should not be gossiping. You, Emma, should not be gossiping. I knew Marvin when I was younger. We grew up together. He's a fine man, and I'm sure his son is a decent boy.
Naomi had been away from Pine Creek for a long while, though Amos's father was an upstanding member of their congregation. Amos was not. Emma could continue on with her valid accusations, but her aunt was clearly in no mood to listen to them, or to believe her. Not wanting to be scolded again, Emma's mind whizzed into action. Perhaps she needed to try a different approach. She had to do something. She was not going to simply agree to this nonsense. If she were to lose the farm right now, her heart would shatter all over again. But marrying Amos, of all people, was simply not an option. She couldn't do it. She wouldn't. She furrowed her brow and lowered her voice, trying to reason with her aunt. How will it look if I began courting him now? I should be in mourning.
Under the circumstances, it would be understandable. No one would expect you to run this farm alone. You need a husband. It is good to hear you say that.
Emma startled at the sound of the familiar voice. Levi Bontrager edged his way through the screen door.
I'm sure you'll excuse my interruption.
I came to see how Emma was faring after such a trying morning. I didn't mean to overhear your conversation, but perhaps it is fortunate that I did.
Why is that? Aunt Naomi asked with a delicate sniff.
Stoltzfus cannot court Emma.
Levi's voice was firm. Emma nodded in agreement. She and Levi had been friends since childhood, and though he had done her wrong in the past, she had forgiven him and moved on. However, their friendship had never been the same. Perhaps he was trying to right his wrongs by offering her support.
I do not believe this is up to you, Naomi said.
Levi raised his hand to Emma's elbow and gave it a squeeze.
She shot him a peculiar look, surprised by the unprecedented act of familiarity, then quickly realized the gesture was one of warning.
It is, Levi started, and then proceeded more firmly. It is because she is courting me.
The blood in Emma's veins felt as if it turned to ice. How could he say such a thing?
Why would he say such a thing? What right did he have to do so? She opened her mouth to protest, but quickly snapped it shut again when Levi gave her elbow another gentle squeeze.
I didn't realize, Naomi said coolly. How could you have? Levi asked, his tone casual.
Emma blinked at the both of them, too flustered to say a word. The Amish did not flaunt their courtships. She realized that it would be all too easy for Naomi to believe this fallacy. But lying was a sin. She couldn't allow it. Or could she? Aunt Naomi had said she needed a husband. Surely she wasn't too picky about which man filled that duty. If Naomi thought she was with Levi, that should satisfy her, shouldn't it? She blamed her momentary lapse of judgment on her grief. She had just lost her dad and wasn't thinking clearly. Her lack of sleep was making it hard to organize her thoughts into words that would make sense. Perhaps she should just remain quiet.
I love Emma deeply, Levi said quietly.
Emma's cheeks instantly flamed red. She gasped in outrage. How dare he lie not only once, but twice, and on her behalf? It was scandalous. Aunt Naomi must have assumed the gasp was that of surprise. Amish men did not, as a general rule, blurt out professions of love, not even when they were courting.
So you see, he continued, I am afraid that you are going to have to let Mr. Stoltzfus know that a mistake has been made.
Emma is not free to court his son. A protest was brewing in Emma's head, but Levi's next words put a halt to her thoughts. She cannot have the children taken from her. They belong here at the farm. They've all three already endured a tremendous loss. It wouldn't be right to take them from one another. Levi held his gaze steady as he met Naomi's. The children. Losing the children would be an even worse fate than having Amos as her husband. For them, she would keep quiet. For now. Just until she had time to get her thoughts in order.
And what of the maples? Levi demanded. Amos knows nothing of producing syrup.
Naomi held her head high.
He has no interest in the trees, only the farm. It is my understanding that he would sell off the surrounding land.
Sell the land? Emma's heart slammed against her ribcage. A thick forest of sugar maples skirted the property on two sides. It was the reason her father's family had purchased this property decades ago. Her family had harvested syrup since before she was born. It was an arduous process, and because of that, a case of syrup brought in a pretty penny. The Pine Cone Lodge purchased the syrup in mass quantities to serve to the guests in the cafe, and the gift store was another outlet. Tourists loved genuine Amish goods. The syrup was not only their livelihood, it was her father's legacy. She could not let it fall into someone else's hands. By not speaking, she knew she was lying by omission. She sent up another silent prayer. Please, God, forgive me for this sin of silence. Forgive me for feeling so attached to this worldly possession. For now, I cannot bear the thought of parting with my father's beloved trees. Another frightening thought weighed her down. If Amos was cruel to animals, how kindly would he treat her? What kind of father would he be? He did not strike Emma as the sort of man who tolerated children well. The very thought of having children with Amos sent her stomach roiling. She dared not voice her fear, worrying that Naomi would accuse her of passing judgment. Naomi eyed them warily.
You are truly courting?
Levi did not hesitate in giving a response.
We truly are. And your intentions are to marry my niece, to help her run the farm, to harvest the syrup, to raise the children.
Emma expected Levi to falter under her aunt's scrutiny.
It would be an honor, someday, if she will have me.
He turned to Emma.
But I do not believe now is the proper time for this discussion. She has guests to tend to.
I suppose she does, Naomi grudgingly admitted. Emma could only dip her head slightly.
We will speak again soon, Levi said.
Emma gave him a sharp, quick nod before slipping back into the security of the house.
Ja, indeed we will.
Chapter 2 Levi dropped by the very next morning, and every morning after for the next several days. Aunt Naomi met him at the door each time, telling him that he should come back another time. She insisted that Emma must be left alone to properly mourn. Emma had overheard the exchanges as she worked at the gas stove, cooking breakfast for her family. She briefly wondered if keeping Levi away was supposed to be a punishment of sorts. Naomi had been clearly ruffled when she realized the sale of the farm was not to take place. Perhaps she wanted to make Emma regret going against her wishes. Emma was sure that Naomi meant well. Even though her methods were rather abrasive, she knew her aunt didn't see it that way. Naomi always did what she thought was best. When her cousin Amelia asked her mother what length of time she considered respectable, Naomi refused to give an answer. Naomi could have continued to stonewall Levi for quite a bit longer, but an opportunity arose that Emma had not expected.
Emma?
What is it, Sadie? Emma continued to scrub the kitchen floor as her sister skidded to a stop in the doorway.
Levi is coming down the lane, Sadie said.
Is he?
Emma dropped the scrub brush into the bucket of water and scrambled to her feet. She dried her hands on her apron before straightening her cap.
Ja, he is, Sadie said. I was hanging the laundry on the line when I saw him.
I suppose it's time that I speak with him, Emma admitted.
Aunt Naomi won't like for you to speak with Levi alone, Sadie warned.
It's a good thing you're here then, Emma reminded her.
The last few days, Emma had been given a reprieve. While she knew she needed to speak with Levi at some point to discuss the fib he'd told, she had been in no hurry. She had days, and she was still unsure of how to address the situation. He was about to knock on the door when she flung it open and stepped onto the porch.
Emma, he said in surprise. Most likely he had assumed Naomi would cut him off, as she always did.
We don't have long, Emma warned. Naomi went visiting this morning, but she can return at any moment.
All right, then. How have you been?
Emma hesitated for a few heartbeats.
I've been managing.
Levi studied her face. Emma knew he would see the shadows under her eyes, belying the sleepless nights she'd had endured. While she knew her father's death was God's will, she missed him, with an ache that had yet to fade. She tried not to worry about the future, but the responsibilities placed upon her seemed too much to bear at times. Though she knew she must bear them, for that, too, was God's will.
Emma? Levi began. I hope you're not angry with me. I know I may have spoken out of turn, but I meant well.
You did more than speak out of turn, Emma corrected with a scowl. I know that you were trying to help. I was not thinking clearly the day of my father's funeral. If I had been, I wouldn't have allowed you to tell my aunt such a tale. God doesn't approve of liars.
I know, Levi agreed. Lying was not my intention. I truly don't know where the words came from. I heard Naomi say she wanted you to marry Amos, and I know what sort of man he is. It was already a difficult day for you.
Her words made it only harder.
I was trying to help, Emma. I did not mean to engage in a falsehood.
She could hear the honesty in his voice, see it in his eyes. That didn't make the situation right. A lie was still a lie.
I appreciate your concern, Emma said firmly, but I will not lie to my family, nor will I lie to this community. They have done so much for me.
In the time since her father's death, the women had stopped by frequently, often bearing baked goods, canned fruit, and some other small token of their thoughts. Several times, friends of her father had stopped by to see if any repairs were needed.
I won't repay them with dishonesty. What would my dad think? What would God think? I cannot live this lie you've told.
Emma, Levi said gently, take a breath. Calm yourself down.
Ach, calm down, she huffed. How can I? You made a liar out of me. She was trembling with frustration.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?